a question for you. It should be coming up on the screen. If you were to send someone a Christmas greeting, how would you do it? And there's four options coming up. Would you A, write them a text or get on social media, ping them some sort of message? Would you B, pick up the phone and give them a call? Would you C, old school, write them a Christmas card? Or would you D, go and visit them in person to pass on your Christmas greeting? 30 seconds to chat. What is your favoured way of passing on a Christmas greeting to somebody else? Alrighty, that'll do us then. So let's do a little survey. Give us a wave if you're a texter, social media. Yeah, a few of you. What about picking up the phone, calling someone? Oh, one or two. That's nearly gone, isn't it? What about writing Christmas cards? Yeah, still a good number. And lastly, visiting someone in person. There we go. Well, I think we probably Christmas cards probably came out on top, which is actually in line with a survey that they did last year. The most popular way to send Christmas greetings is still by Christmas card. In fact, last year, a staggering estimated 900 million cards were sent in the UK alone. 900 million Christmas greetings sent by card. That is a whole lot of Christmas greetings. Well, this morning we're going to be thinking about a Christmas greeting that we find in the Bible that wasn't sent by text or by phone or by card, but by prophet. You see, in the Bible, God sent some of his most important messages through people that he called prophets. You see, that's what a prophet is. A prophet is a mouthpiece. God gave a message to a prophet, and then the prophet shared that message with the people around them. And we find one of those messages, actually we've just heard already, one of those messages in the reading from Matthew chapter 1. Have a look again at the words on the screen. She, that's Mary, will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. You see, everything that happened that first Christmas, from the census and the journey to Bethlehem and the no room at the inn and the manger and the little baby wrapped in cloths and the shepherds on the hillside and the choir of angels, all of that took place to fulfill what the Lord had already said through the prophet Isaiah, which is amazing, isn't it? 700 years before it happened, God told us what that first Christmas would be like. Point being, it happened according to plan, which of course can't always be said when it comes to our own Christmas plans. One of my mates called Hoppy, Gareth Hopkins, this was going back 25 years before, as a Christian, we were Bezzy mates. And we thought it'd be a good thing to do to get together our families on Christmas Day. There were four of us who were best friends. We thought our mums and dads should be best friends as well. So we organised to meet at the pub, the Anchor in Leek Wootton, for an hour on Christmas Day morning. We got together, we had a quick drink, we exchanged presents, we had a wonderful time, blah, blah. And then we went our home our separate ways. And to find out later, it didn't quite go according to plan for Hoppy, because on the way back home, their car broke down. Christmas Day, 4.5 miles from home, bit of a nightmare. One, because he's in his sort of Christmas best, nice, smart, slippy shoes. Number two, it's -2 outside, and there's still snow on the ground. But Hoppy, being the hero that he was, hatched the plan and said, I'm going to run for home to rescue the Christmas dinner, because they all had friends coming around in the afternoon. So that's what happened. Glenys and John, Hoppy's mum and dad, and Sian, they stayed with the car. They rang the AA, and Hoppy made it. And they actually returned. They got home about 10 minutes after Hoppy. And when they got in, they found him sat shivering on the kitchen floor, trying to scrape off the burnt bits of the potato in an attempt to rescue the Christmas dinner. Now, it's fair to say that it didn't quite go according to the Hopkins Christmas family plan that year. And I'm sure we've got a few Christmas stories as well, which we could echo those sentiments. It doesn't always go according to plan for us. But of course, that's never the case with God, is it? Because when God makes a plan, it happens. Which is why that first Christmas happened exactly as God had planned, exactly as God said it would. Or to put it another way, there were no burnt potatoes on that first Christmas morning, all according to plan. And that's what we've just read, isn't it? Verse 22 and 23, all this took place. Everything that we read of in these first couple of chapters took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. And this is what God said. All those centuries before, you remember, God to the prophet, and that prophet shares the message with the people around. And this was the message: the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, friends, here's the stunning news of Christmas. And this was God's plan all along. It wasn't plan B or plan C, but plan A, that God would come to this world as a little baby. The God who made the stars was born under the very stars that he made. I don't know if anyone remembers the Christmas message that was broadcast from space back in 1968. Carol's maybe within chance of remembering this. As Apollo 8 came out from behind the moon, they sent back some stunning pictures back to Earth. And as they did, they addressed the largest human audience ever assembled. And do you know how they began? As everyone down on Earth below was listening, they saw these pictures being beamed back, and they listened in to these three astronauts in space. And do you know how they began their Christmas greeting that day? They began with the words of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let's have a watch of the video. Good, isn't it? And 40 years after that took place, Frank Borman, who was one of the astronauts, was interviewed about that message that they gave, that Christmas greeting from space. And he said the only instruction that they received, that they were given by NASA, was to say something appropriate. And what could be more appropriate than reading from Genesis chapter 1? In the beginning, God. God. And God created all things. You see, the world that they looked down on from space, the same world that God created, that God brought into being by speaking, is the same tiny little planet that this almighty God entered as a little baby in time and space and history. The God who made the stars was born under the very stars that he made. And back in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we're told why God would do that. And this is what we read. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, for most of you this morning, that's probably not new. You've probably heard that 3, 4, 5 times already in the lead up to Christmas. We sung about it already this morning. Jesus came to be our Savior. But just for the last few moments, I want to personalize that message, because it so easily gets lost in all the extra trimmings of Christmas. God left heaven for you. Whatever else happens today, I hope that rings around in your head. God left heaven for you. And he spent the first few hours of his earthly life lying in a wooden animal feeding trough, not particularly glamorous. And he spent the last few hours of his earthly life hanging on a wooden cross for you, which was even less glamorous. In fact, the prophet Isaiah, who we've heard of already this morning, who spoke about the coming of God into this world, also spoke about the death and the triumph of Jesus. And this is what he said back in Isaiah 53, verse 2. He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. There's nothing spectacular looking at the Lord Jesus. He looked like a normal human being. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering, a man of sorrows, and familiar with pain. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him, that's Jesus, the iniquity of us all. We've all wandered away from the path, like lost sheep. We've wandered away from our good shepherd. We've wandered away from God, and we've done our own thing and gone our own way. But in God's amazing grace, in God's sheer kindness, he's laid all of our failings, all of our iniquities, all of our wrongdoings upon his own son on the cross. And Jesus died for us so that we can be free and forgiven and know life with him forever. That's what's behind the word Emmanuel, God with us. And he came to be with us in order to save us, to die for us because of his outrageous love for each one of us. And surely that is the best Christmas greeting ever, isn't it? Of all the different Christmas greetings that are given, that Christ came and Christ loved you and Christ died for you. And so as we close, let me leave you with two final challenges. Firstly, to listen to the prophets. Listen to what the Bible says about Christmas. Think about why Jesus came. Consider what that really means for you. Let the good news of what Jesus did impact your 2025 in ways that is never done before. And secondly, be a little prophet yourself. Now, of course, we're not like the prophets of old in the Old Testament. They received new revelation from God to pass on to the people. God has revealed himself fully and finally and perfectly in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we still got that little role of being God's mouthpieces, of sharing the good news of what God has already done. Put your hand up if you bought someone a present this year. Every hand pretty much up in the room. Yeah, that's good. It's a lovely thing to give a gift to somebody else. But how much greater to pass on the message of salvation, the news of what Jesus did for you. It's good to give stuff sometimes. It's good to give things to other people. That's fine. That's good. How much greater to give people Jesus, to talk to them about the one who loves them more than anyone could possibly imagine. And so as we close, could I encourage you just to take a moment now on your own to pray. To pray for one person that you could do that with this Christmas. To gossip the gospel, to share something, to be a little prophet, a little mouthpiece. One person that you're going to see this Christmas that you could do that with. Pray for them and pray for yourself that you might do it. 30 seconds on your own to do that, then I'll pray for us before we close in song.